What a week, y'all. What a week. This is the latest episode of Y'all Crazy. We're going to talk about the FTX bankruptcy. We're going to talk about the possible of Elon Musk deciding to go bankrupt with Twitter. Maybe. There's a lot of changes going on with Twitter. The midterm elections, Russia pulling out of Kherson City, so much more. Stay tuned, y'all. I guess people still haven't learned their lessons. Why are you still leaving your freaking crypto on exchanges, centralized exchanges? I don't care how big their names are or how strong their backing is. These people, when the market crashes the way it's been crashing over the last year and a half, it's dangerous to keep your money on exchanges. And don't buy, well, I would say don't hold exchange coins either. I just don't understand why there are so many people out there that continues to keep their money on centralized exchanges and invest in their tokens for long term. When there's a bull market, that's the only time you purchase these things. When the bull market is over, you get rid of them. And it's just such a tragedy because this guy, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried, you would think, you know, because all the people that's backing him, his family, how important, like, you know, their family is in ethics and stuff like that. And they've been spending all this wild money with branding and marketing, spending $100 million on licensing names of the, you know, the Miami Heat arenas. All this was probably done with your money. They had a trading firm that was basically the way he claims he got rich in the first place, high leverage trading. And they had to file bankruptcy because, you know, they lost $10 billion of the customers' funds and it will never be recovered. This is probably one of the biggest collapse in years in the crypto world. This is just as big as the one that happened with Luna a few months ago. Don't worry, there will be more. There will be more exchanges going under. I wouldn't be shocked if Coinbase will go under too, because they also have custodial funds too. And these institutional investors are really irate and pissed off at this moment because, you know, they believed in this guy. They believe in this company. They believe who's been backing him. He's been funding political parties. He's been in bed with a lot of regulators and things like that. And no one expected this to happen. But we always said this, if you are a crypto fan like me, exchanges is not the way to go. You buy them on exchange and then you send them to your wallet. And if you don't do that, you're putting yourself at risk of getting your money stolen. These people do not have their best interest in heart for you. They don't. The decentralized exchanges are the best way to go. When the bull run starts up again in a year from now, hopefully soon, that's when you put your money together and you focus on decentralized exchanges. After that, do not invest your money or keep your money on these exchanges. There are good wallets out there that you can use, you know, use them. At the end of the day, like, honestly, it all shows you one thing and one thing only. Trust Bitcoin and only trust Bitcoin, because as you can see, Bitcoin has no risk. It's as far as it going up and down. That's no risk anyway. You know, he spent nearly millions of dollars of people's money. Like, and he was running his corporation in the Bahamas. And it's just like, this has got to be one of the worst situations we've seen in years. And it happened on U.S. soil. So we're going to, like, you know, he has the connection, so he may not go to jail for this, but this is the most tragic thing I've seen in many years. We will see definitely some changes coming into the crypto market. It'll be some serious regulation coming thanks to this. There are powerful people who are backing FTX. that's seriously about getting this money back and also making regulations so this never happens again, because millions of dollars were lost and it will definitely cause some changes. Moving forward, let's talk about the election. Everybody was expecting a major red wave and we didn't see it. And I don't want to be a political, pundit on this subject or be like left wing, right wing, but I've said this 2 years ago and I'm going to say it again. We will never see a fair election in the United States ever again. They will always be rigged. Always. In my point example, let's look at the Georgia race for the Senate. Herschel Walker versus Raphael Warnock. My thing is this. If you have common sense and you understand how people vote and how they articulate the way they vote, you will understand this election was stolen or is rigged. It has no choice but to see the writings on the wall. And let me tell you why. Most people who vote, they literally vote down the line. So if you're a Republican, you're going to vote Republican down the line. If you're a Democrat, you're going to vote Democrat down the line. So to see people to decide, hey, we're going to go with the governor who's a Republican. Well, I'm not going to go with Herschel Walker. It's so unrealistic, y'all. Like, I just want you guys to understand that. Like, I have faith in humanity, but not that much. Like, people are dumb and not articulate at all. They're stupid. They don't like the people who voted for Chase Oliver, that he only got 2% of the vote, 81,000. Those are real people who actually went out their way and look into this person and actually voted for him. You know what I mean? Most people, they get their ballots and they just vote down the line. It happens all the time. This is nothing new. Like, I'm telling you now, most people don't even know who they voted for this week. And I'm not bullshitting. A lot of people do not know who they voted for. They just see Democrat, blue. They see Republican, red. And that's the case. So you're telling me nearly 3 million votes were cast, and you're telling me that some people decided on this one, some people decided on that one. Come on. Like, who are we fooling? Especially when there's an 8% gap between Abrams and Kemp. Like, it's come on, it's given fraud. It's just like, if you don't want to believe me, totally fine. I'm not disputing it. I'm not gonna argue with you, but if you know what goes on in elections and how these voting patterns go, you know it's rigged. It's probably happened in many other races too. Like, this is just what it is. And people who sit here and pretend that elections are rigged or not rigged, you're lying to yourself. Like, you just are. And it's totally fine. But I just want you to understand, use your common sense, which I know you probably won't, most of you guys. The election was definitely stolen. And I've never seen this in my life, how the governor race in Arizona is still being counted. Only 89% of the votes have been reported so far. We know this election is going to get stolen. Carrie Lake is not liked by the elites, so they're going to do anything and everything to get her out of there. So keep on the lookout for that. It's just another situation where it happened in 2020. Mail-in ballots are coming in and it's just all freaking stolen because they. But listen, I'm not just going to say it's just the Democrats. We got to look at it from point of view. If you can cheat, most people will. That's just what it is. Most people will. And that's just the case of anything, really. So don't be surprised the Republicans find a way to cheat in 2024. Don't be shocked. I don't want you guys to be shocked if it happens. Like, And people are losing faith in Donald Trump because of this midterm elections. They thinking, you know, they are hoping and praying that he doesn't run in 2024 now, because the MAGA Republicans, as Biden calls them, didn't turn out well, or maybe the fraud was so good it didn't, you know, help. Well, like, you know, the House is so divided in Arizona is crazy. Like, you know, it's just weird. I'm looking at all these races, like, you know, another close one, it was Juan Soleimani and Kristen Eagle. That was really close. It's only 88% of it reported. They're going to try to flip as many as possible to make sure nothing happens. The Andy Biggs, he's winning his race by a landslide, pretty much. He's up by 15%. Greg Satin, that looks like a landslide over there in Arizona. Another landslide, too, in another district in the House. Ruben Galileo, if I said his name right. Eli Crane is doing decently over Tom O'Halloran. And he was the incumbent. Okay. Also, another tight race is going on, too. This is with Devin Hodge and David Shkreli, if I said his name correctly. They may have to have a runoff, too, because that race is really close. 3,000 votes difference between these two. And that's just in the House. Let's look at the Senate and see what's going on with the Senate. Sorry, it's taking forever to load today. Like, come on now. Let's see what's going on with the only one Senate race, and it's a pretty tight one too. The incumbent is Mark Kelly and versus Blake Masters. It's looking like Mark Kelly is definitely going to take that one. But the governor race is just very interesting, how Georgia, and it's weird. Georgia's governor race shows that to me that somebody got it wrong. It wasn't even close. And I thank God it wasn't even close, because Stacey Abrams' policies is she's too extreme and too far left for Georgia. And her she was betting on abortion rights would be the kicker, and also thinking black men, which vote in astronomical numbers for her. I think that she got 88% of the black vote, even though she tried to shit on black people to vote for her during her election run. But people literally voted for her, but not enough by a landslide. You know, like I said before, this is 3 million votes. 3 million votes in this election. And you mean to tell me that 8% difference from the governor race, and literally they're tooth, you know, neck to neck with the Herschel Walker Senate race? Come on. Like, I have my ballots in a car. Like, you see it. It's like you could go blue down a line. Right. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm telling you guys, I don't have that much hope in humanity for me to believe that this is how it went down. I just can't. Like, I simply just can't. I just can't do it. I can't believe it for the life of me. I just can't do it. To think that people literally just say, hey, I'm gonna pick this person, pick that person, and see what happens from there. It's just not realistic, y'all. And I just want you guys to understand that. It's just not realistic. Another thing that's been going on, you know, the Russia-Ukraine war. Something shocking happened this week. I said it on TikTok and YouTube already, if you check my videos out. Earlier this week, the Delta program was hacked by Russia hackers. So all the bladder, I mean, I said bladder, all the battle plans of the war in Ukraine was leaked. And then 48 hours later, Russians troops left Kherson City, east of the Dnieper River, and now they're on the other side of the river, and they even moved the capital, saying this is the new capital. So anybody who needs social services and things like that, the new capital of the administrative capital of it is now Janistic, if I said it correctly. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm not too versed on Eastern European languages, so how they pronounce certain things, so excuse me. That's what Moscow is saying, you know. And let's okay, I understand the media plunder about this. People are making it seem that this is bad for Russia. But I think people need to understand for the last 2 months, Ukraine have not made any significant movements on the battlefield. They have been stuck where they are on the battlefield and losing thousands of men. In October, they lost 12,000 soldiers and made no movements. Actually, they've been losing the territorial gains they have made in September now, especially the ones in Donbass and the Luhansk area that, like, Russia just took back the airport this week and a couple of more towns. So they are pushing Ukraine back, and they're doing this all before the winter. So the regrouping of soldiers near the river is a strategic move. I understand it looks bad on Putin and Russia, but look at it from this point of view. Ukraine has been threatened. This is how the media been working. Ukraine threatens to do something, then they blame Russia threatened to do something. It's like, oh my God, and I keep telling people, why would Russia destroy land that they just annexed? It makes no sense at all, but people continue to say this. So Ukraine this was threatening to blow up the dam that will flood Kherson City and trap 40,000 soldiers of Russian soldiers. So the smartest thing to do after that, as I said before, that Russian hack probably revealed what the Ukrainians was going to do when it came to that dam. So evacuating that dam was probably the only best solution to make sure their soldiers, their weapons, their tanks would not be destroyed if that dam is destroyed. And Zelensky is like, oh, we're gonna push Russia out of Ukraine. I don't see how you're running out of weapons. The weapons that, for instance, United States bought weapons from South Korea to give to Ukraine. We're giving 20-year-old weapons now to Ukraine. And you can sign up for the contracts right now. Hopefully you can win them to refurbish these weapons that haven't been in use for 20 years. So not only that we are losing a lot of weapons, we don't even have enough weapons anymore in the supply chain to give Ukraine to continue this fight. So I expect this fight to end very soon and some peace talks and ceasefires to happen in the next 3 or 4 months. This war, the calm of this war is going to start leaving the media very soon. I would say late January, we're going to start seeing less and less content on this war, less media talks, because at this point there is no choice for the Ukrainian people to continue this war going on. I think this war will probably continue. Either it'll be a ceasefire or it'll be a guerrilla warfare, basically what it's been trying to turn into at this moment. But that's about it. This war is unsustainable at this point for all nations. No matter how you like Russia or not, Russia, technically, with the firepower they have, they are a superpower. We may not like the way their military performed in this conflict, which we all can agree on, but it still stands about their firepower. Like, they have ships, they have tanks, they have weapons that can cause mass destructions. They have well-trained soldiers too for many years that had many experience throughout the world, especially in Syria in 2014. They have the expertise to fight this war, and they've been doing pretty good as far as territorial gains. They still control 40% of the country. So this will may continue as a guerrilla warfare for many, many years to come, or it'll be peace talks. But I can't see the vision anymore of Ukraine sustaining this fight any longer without the counterparts of the Western world helping them. They're running out of weapons. Go to the DoD website yourself if you don't believe me. And I'm totally fine. If you don't want to believe me, I'm just saying the facts. That's what's going on. Also, you know, it's, as you know, Israel, Netanyahu is back in office, and he wants to create a new conservative government coalition, guaranteeing the country's longest serving prime minister. I see that it can happen. He'll create a new system that will protect him and his party. Oh, excuse me, I'm yawning. Oh man, it's been a long week. My birthday was this week, my son's birthday, so it's been a very busy week for me. And it's been a rough week. But you know, this is all I wanted to say today. And you know, I just think that people should be well aware of what's going on and what a crazy week we had. Stay tuned, y'all. Peace.